This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, ladies. Today I'd like for us to look at the idea of being complicit. Now, if we're guilty of being complicit, we're guilty of being involved with others in something that's either underhanded or illegal, or perhaps maybe a silent complicity where we have inaction or acceptance of illegal or wrongdoing. Now, that would be a definition for today, but the original etymology of the word from the Latin verb actually means to fold together with. And that means getting ourselves among and involved in. You might liken it to something like mixing butter and eggs and folding them in together with the flour and salt and baking powder you would make of a cake. And we become a part of it, part of the finished product. Now, probably all of us have been guilty of this at some point in time in our lives, of being complicit. We may not even be aware of it some of the time. Especially being new Christians or something, you might be complicit in something that you hadn't even gained enough knowledge of. But being in a position, or perhaps even unknowingly having been involved in complicity, sometimes it can just happen so quickly we don't even realize it or understand it until maybe later on, or we might take a step back and reevaluate our position, having heard more information on a given subject. Maybe we've just sat back and kept our mouth shut when a false doctrine was being taught by another. And I understand if we were in a crowd or a group of people, there's a time and a place for everything, and you might want to take that person aside later and speak with them if you're among people that you know are not going to be influenced so much by that. But at some point, would we not have to just try to teach the one who'd spoken erroneously? Do we not have that responsibility? And if we saw something done with our own eyes and we turn our back to that which is not right, we've definitely become complicit, whether it be an action like theft or physical harm to another, or maybe complicity to even a conversation or remarks like lying, gossip, maligning someone's character, or any other sin that might cause harm to someone. And we're speaking of one who has twisted scriptures or deliberately made accusations upon another without verification, obviously. Well, God speaks plainly to us in the Old Testament as well as a multitude of warnings in the New. Excuse me. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Exodus 23:1-2. And Leviticus 19:15 also reiterates that we are not to make judgments on one because he or she is poor or for any other reason, but rather to make a righteous judgment, judgment based upon that which is factual and evident, seen by those who are righteous. You know, ladies, people are a lot like sheep, and people follow a multitude, even to do that which is evil. I think we today have labeled that crowd mentality. But it's existed ever since the beginning. Most of us with life experiences understand that, but we must not be in tune to that which is getting caught up with the crowd element. Wise and faithful women of God will be alert and oriented to this ourselves first, but also for our children, our families. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God and commit sinful actions. Romans 3:24 tells us that. But we must also realize how to fix that behavior by repenting and showing forth fruits of righteousness and demonstrations of the proof of our repentance. And God will forgive us. Our children, when we speak to them, we would say, "You need to change that behavior." That's pretty simple. The world understands what sin is, and godly men and women, obedient Christians, will understand this, study the Word of God continually, and pray fervently. And then they're going to teach others the results of living aimless, sinless lives and show them a godly way, the only way to be able to share the heavenly realm. Most of our world is not ignorant of these facts, and the majority of Bibles are in the homes of everyone, and people do pick them up and read them. I know when Rembrandt painted a beautiful painting entitled The Raising of the Cross, He lived in the 1600s, and he was an amazing artist, and we are lucky to have a lot of his paintings with us today. But that one painting in particular that he did was not only beautiful, but was heart-wrenching. And the painting portrays the final moments before the cross is raised with Jesus on it. Everyone is dressed as they would have been in Jesus' time, except for one person. The man raising the cross is dressed in the clothing of Rembrandt's own time, 1600s. Now, Rembrandt never explained this, but those who knew him realized that this man in the painting that he painted in there is Rembrandt himself. And the point he was trying to make is that all of us play a role in Jesus' life, and they were all playing a role in the final hours. Either we participate in crucifying and putting Christ to death, or we're doing that, which can make him alive and present right now by our behaviors and our way of life. He was illustrating that each of us, including himself, plays a role in that crucifixion of Christ. This is why the characters in the story that we see as we look upon the painting are so memorable, because we can identify with them. When we read about that in the Bible, we can see ourselves in those who were present for the crucifixion of Jesus. Some of these people were noble, and some not so noble. Some are wealthy, and some are poor. Some held our Lord near and dear, his mother, his disciples, his friends and followers. But many held him in contempt, loathing his following, his influence, and his undeniable power to heal, to read the hearts of mankind, to raise the dead. But in the end, as much as we'd like to believe that we are very different from that motley group of folks we see, it's not right. Because we realize, too, that we play a role in the crucifixion, just as Rembrandt was attempting to convey to all who would see his painting of the crucifixion from his viewpoint. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us, 1 John 1:10. I would like for us to think about achieving the perfection in Christ that is attainable. No, not the perfect way we think of perfection, but like our Lord does, living each moment for him, for our soul's salvation, for the salvation of others, especially our children and our families. We can do it, but only in him, not in and of ourselves. We're going to have to humble ourselves and lean upon him and his word to achieve that perfection of the soul as we go about our daily lives, not in ignorance or desiring to be like the world, but rather to be a bright shining light to those around us, mirroring the goodness of God. The world needs this. Our homes and loved ones need that light. And ladies, we need that light to help us along the way, that we don't fall into or fold ourselves in with the world, but rather pull them from the fold. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 2:2-3. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4-6. Complicity is from Satan, ladies, but perfection is in Christ. We need to be strong. And I thank you for listening.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bibleway Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.